The rustle of pages will keep us from the dark ages. Exodus chapter 15. And picking up at verse 22, it says, can we do something different today? Let's all stand as we honor God's word. This is God's word. We're honoring him. Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled. The people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we do? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to you with your word. Lord, I ask that you would just anoint this preacher's heart. Lord, anoint my lips. Let this be a message from your throne, simply to your people. Lord, that you would receive the glory. Lord, this is what we want. We want you to receive the glory. Lord, be with us now and bless this word to our heart's needs, our soul's needs. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Boy, this water is so good. Well, that is so good. Anybody thirsty? That is so good. That is just so good. This passage of scripture that I just read serves as our text. The children of Israel had just crossed through the Red Sea, and Sister Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, led Israel in the singing of a song of salvation and thanksgiving. It's interesting, they came through the Red Sea, Sister Miriam grabbed a tambourine, and she began dancing. Now remember, Moses is 80 years old or thereabouts at this time. He's the runt of the family. His sister is older, probably 86. Can you imagine Sister Miriam grabbing a tambourine and leading the children of Israel in a song, dancing and singing before the Lord? Can you imagine that? You know, I'm 73 and I have a hard time walking. Here she's 86 and she's leading the people of Israel into a song. So after this high point of crossing the Red Sea, seeing Pharaoh's whole army drowned, they come to the wilderness of Shur. After going 3 days into the wilderness, they suddenly have no water. No water. 3 days without water. Now, do you think you'd be a little thirsty after 3 days? I would. It's so good. I mean, after they had crossed the Red Sea and had done all this, they come to, they suddenly find some water, but the water is too bitter to drink, and it's called Marah. Marah means bitter. Water was too bitter to drink. The Lord sweetened the waters of Marah to show that he was Israel's healer. Now, it's interesting to note that Marah is on the path that they had to go to get to the promised land. Bitter waters were on the way. The Lord had marked out Marah for Israel. Do you know, we may not understand at times, but we Christians experience Marah. We experience bitter waters in our life. We experience bitterness in our life. We have bitter experiences that we sometimes cannot figure out why. We don't always understand or know why, but one thing we can know is that the Lord is educating us and he's preparing us for something. See, God knew what he was doing with the children of Israel. He took them out of Egypt. He brought them across the Red Sea. There they danced, they sang before the Lord. Everything was going great. God says, now we're going to keep you moving toward Canaan. But it took 3 days without water, and suddenly they come to bitter water. Isn't that interesting? We sometimes don't understand why God is leading us in a certain direction, and suddenly there's bitterness before us. We hit a tough spot. This was all in God's plan for Israel. We can be assured that God's presence and power will sustain us even at Marah. The problem at Marah caused the children of Israel's singing to be turned into sighing, grumbling. Rather than giving thanks for the goodness of God, they grumbled at the man of God. But God used an ordinary tree to bless the people in an extraordinary way. The children of Israel needed the experience at Marah to learn some things about themselves. They needed to know how they would react in life, especially when life didn't present to them all that they wanted. Sometimes when you and I are going through life, we want something one way, and it doesn't work that way. God has a different plan. And so we begin to grumble. We get bitter. And there isn't any sweet water around. The children of Israel had to experience some bitter things. They had to experience Marah to learn some things about themselves. I want you to know, when you end up with a problem that you don't know why it's there, a Marah, a bitter problem, you can't understand why. I want you to know that God has put it there so that you will learn about yourself. How many of you, don't put your hands up. How many of you have ever grumbled about anything? See, through this experience at Marah, God would teach Israel faith in himself for support and deliverance. God used an ordinary tree to bless the children of Israel in an extraordinary way. Look at verse 25 in your Bibles. It says, then he, meaning Moses, in verse 25, said, Verse 25. Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and here he tested them. It says, then he cried out to the Lord. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. The word cried means to cry out for help. It suggests crying out in distress, in need, or in grief. It suggests calling out for help in sorrow, in an intense or a hard situation. It suggests calling out for help under great distress, in the time of deepest need. Sincere prayer is the best source of help. Now, again, get the picture. They've crossed the Red Sea. All of Pharaoh's army is gone. Sister Miriam picks up a tambourine and they begin singing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. And all of Israel is singing. About 2.5 million people dancing. Things are going great. Moses said, okay, the cloud is moving, let's go. They pick up and they start going. First day, no water. Second day, no water. The third day, no water. Well, I'm glad I have water. No water. So Moses is leading the people. Third day, there's without water. And the people are so encouraged by Moses leading them. And there's no water. And they're just saying, oh, Moses, we know you'll find water. No, they're grumbling. They're grumbling, like you and I. We do sometimes grumble, if you're honest. Some of you, your halos are getting dim. We'll have to give you a new battery and brighten them up. But anyway, they're grumbling against Moses. Moses is standing there saying, what am I going to do? These people are upset with me. They've gone 3 days. There's no water. Lord, what am I going to do? So they come to this beautiful, beautiful oasis. And the children of Israel rush up to the water. They stoop down and they take bitter water. 3 days. Now, isn't there some way we can get the engineers out here and purify this water?
Yeah.
3 days they've gone, no, just bitter water is all. I'm going to ask my Moses to come out. So they're complaining to Moses. Moses doesn't complain. Instead, Moses prays.
Lord, what are we to do? We've been out here 3 days. No water. The people are grumbling. What are we to do, Lord? Help us.
It says God showed him the tree. And when it says showed, it means God pointed to a tree. So God pointed to a tree and he said, cast that tree into the water.
Throw this into the water? But we're thirsty.
The tree will help.
Throw this into the water.
Throw that into the water.
Yes, Lord, whatever you say, you've got us this far.
Now drink of the water.
Ooh, that's sweet. Thank you, Lord.
This prayer that Moses prayed came 3 days after there was no water.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. It came as after Israel had experienced some of the pain of the journey to the promised land. This suggests that every one of our life experiences will have times of bitterness. All of us. The people were walking in the wilderness 3 days. This is pictured by the fact that the people had no water to drink. Every life will experience discontent. Discontentment is seen in the fact that the people were grumbling at Moses. Now, during the time in our lives of sameness or dissatisfaction or emptiness, there are at least two attitudes that will be projected by each one of us. We're going through life and it's kind of a sameness type thing. Lord, I want some excitement in my life. Lord, everything is the same. I have emptiness in my life. Lord, I have dissatisfaction in my life. There's two things that will happen to us. One of two things will happen to us. We will either complain or we will pray. Which comes easier? Prayer. Yes. Yeah. I don't think so. I think most of us complain. It's easier to complain than it is to pray. Until we get prayer down into our heart and into our soul, where it becomes the first thing that we do, then we begin to understand that God is moving in our lives and God is doing something for us. So it drove the people to complain, but it drove Moses to pray. The people became bitter, as bitter as the water was. And rather than trusting the Lord to supply their needs, the people grumbled against their leader. It's easy to do that. It's easy for a wife to complain to her husband than it is to pray. It's easier for someone who works at a factory or whatever to complain to someone else rather than pray about the situation. It's easy for a church person to complain rather than to pray. While the people were complaining, Moses was praying. Now, in the time of disappointment, it's usually the time that people complain. But it should be the time that we pray. If we pray, God can turn our disappointments into appointments, divine appointments. That's what happened. See, God could have led them past Marah. He could have had the waters sweet. But instead, he led them to Marah. He led them to bitter waters. God leads you to bitterness in your life because he wants to show you what's in your heart. He wanted to show the children of Israel. Bitterness is where we experience sweetness. The Lord wanted Israel to know that he had the ability and the willingness to heal them from all their diseases. The Lord showed Moses a tree. He pointed out the tree to Moses. This ordinary tree was the answer to Moses' prayer concerning bitter water. Isn't it amazing that just a little tree thrown into a river or body of water, that it turns it sweet? Now, look at verse 25 again. We're going to kind of pick this apart a little bit. Verse 25, it said, "Then he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them." It says, "Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree." This message, in verse 25, this message is a reminder that the very thing that can turn the bitterness of life into sweetness is not very far off. Folks, I want you to know, if you're going through a hard time, sweetness isn't very far off. It isn't very far off. If you're going through a problem, the answer to it isn't very far off. It's close. Paul said to the Romans, "The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we are preaching." Jesus Christ is the saving and satisfying word of God. We can be assured that Jesus is always near to us. His mere presence makes a difference in the taste of waters of life. Jesus is near you. It makes a difference how close you are to him in how sweet the water of life is to you. It should be noted that bitterness in water is not natural. It isn't natural for water to be bitter. For the most part, water is colorless, odorless, tasteless. If I ask you, what does water taste like? What would you tell me? Tastes like water, right? What does water taste like? Well, it tastes like water. So then if water is bitter, it's because there's something foreign in the water. There's something that's making it bitter. It isn't the water. It's something in the water that's making it bitter. If you're having a hard time in your life, it shouldn't be. It's that there's something that's in there that's causing your life to be bitter. Gee, what can cause my life to go wrong? How about sin? Satan will throw a little sin in your life so that then all of a sudden you don't feel sweetness anymore. Your life isn't going as good as it should. There's something wrong with it. That's what happened with these waters when Moses threw the tree into it. There was something in the water that was causing it to be bitter, because water normally is not bitter. The nearness of the tree to where Moses was shows the nearness of God's remedies for life's bitter circumstances. God is always within hand reach and heart reach. Verse 25 again. Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, there were other trees around, but God showed him a tree. God showed him the tree. I'm sure there were other trees around that Moses could have chosen if the choice had been left up to him. But just any old tree wasn't the answer to this serious problem. Serious problem that they had of bitter water. Now, when your life becomes bitter, there are all kinds of choices that you can make. Not God's choices, your choices. We always look for a way out. I've been in churches that are not a bad thing, but do you know there's a lot of God's little helpers in churches? Have you ever heard of God's little helper? All you have to have is a new family come in with a single daughter, single son, and watch people start matchmaking. They do. Oh, if this person would be... And they try to become God's little helpers. There's always all kinds of nice little decisions that we can make to sweeten up the waters around us. But unless the Lord guides the way, these efforts are all in vain. Remember, Israel had traveled 3 days in the wilderness with hopes of finding water to refresh their bodies. And when they saw this water at Marah, I'm sure their hearts leaped for joy. But when they discovered the water was too bitter to drink, they immediately forgot how the Lord had blessed them in days past. See, we hit a bad spot in our life and we forget about the blessings that God has given us. How many of you keep a book of every answered prayer you ever have? We should. Because we should look back and say, Lord, you did it here, you did it here, you did it here. Lord, you answered that. Oh, I remember that one. That's what we need to do, but instead we don't remember. If God could bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he certainly could bring them out of a bitter water problem. If God could bring them across the Red Sea, I'm sure he could handle a bitter drinking water problem. Now, I want you to notice in this, God did not move Israel out of Marah. He didn't move them out of Marah in order to give their life some sweetness. God merely changed the taste of the water. That's all he did. He didn't move them out of it. They were still in that situation, but God changed the taste of the water. God doesn't take you and I out of the problem. He takes the problem when it's surrounding us and shows us how it's going to work and fixes it. If you wait on God to change the bitter waters of Marah, what he does is he's going to lead you to Elim. Look at verse 27. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the water. Now notice, it doesn't say they camped at Marah. When the waters were made sweet, they didn't camp there. They were just a little ways away from 12 springs of water and 70 date palms. See, you are so close when you come to a bitter time in your life, when you come to a time when you just don't know what to do, when things are not going right, you are so close to 12 springs of water and 70 date palms where you can camp. God wants you to camp where it's good. Elim was a great place, a place of great blessings and fruitfulness. And you'll notice that it was the place of 70 palm trees and 12 wells. Whenever you're at the bitter waters of Marah, always keep your mind on Elim and Canaan. That's where God is taking us. God is taking us to Elim. He wants us to settle down. He wants to get the bitterness out of our life so that we can now settle down and feel God's presence, where we can camp beside 12 springs and eat the fruit that's all around us. Like I said, when Israel came to Elim, they set up housekeeping there for a while, and then God moved them on to Canaan. They were on their way to Canaan by the grace of God. God wants to get the bitterness out of our lives. God today wants to take you from the spot that you're in, from the hard spot, from the difficult spot, from the spot where perhaps you have pain, from the spot where perhaps you don't have enough money to go around, from the spot where there's problems. God wants to take you from that bitter spot and take you to the 12 springs of Elim. That's what God wants to do today to each one of us. When we look at the how God changed by throwing the tree into the water, it's evidence of how the value of things can change depending upon whose hands the things are in. Let me show you what I mean. Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper, jot down a poem on it, and it was suddenly worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper, and it was worth $1 million. That's capital. The federal government can take a piece of paper, put a picture on it, and it's suddenly worth $20. That's money. A mechanic can take material that's worth $2 and charge you $50 for it. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1,000. That's art. God can take a worthless life, wash it in the blood of Jesus, put his spirit in it, make it a blessing to humanity, and that's called grace. I believe God is telling me to tell you that if you're in a spot where you just don't know what to do, you're in a really tight spot, God wants you to know that he wants to take you from that spot that's so hard, so bitter, and he wants to change it to sweet water. He wants to change the situations in your life and make them sweet, and then he's going to move you to Elim, where you're going to have all kinds of things where you can settle down and camp on your way to the promised land. See, God wants you to have sweetness in this life.
and then suddenly the rapture comes and we're gone. No, God wants us to have sweetness here. Wouldn't it be better to have sweetness here when the Lord returns and takes us to Himself? To me, that's the greatest thing. Instead of pulling me out of problems all the time, God wants to take the bitterness. The bitterness of Israel. It's in your path. It's where you're going because God has set up a path for your life. And God wants you to walk that path. He didn't take the children of Israel and say, oh, I'm going to the bypass tomorrow. I'm going to put you right at the false springs of evil. He didn't do that. He didn't say that. He said, this is the path that you're walking on, and I'm going to show you how to make it. He's saying, I'm going to show you that I'm the healer. I can heal all of Israel. All of Israel was at bitter water. And God says, I'm going to show you that I can take all of that bitterness for all of the people and change it to sweetness. That's what God wants to do today. Are you having problems? Do you have problems with family? Neighbors? Automobiles? Jobs? Are you having difficulties? God wants to take that and change it. Heal it. He wants to heal you. Do you have pain in your life? Do you have physical sickness? God wants to take that and heal you. Are you here and you would like a fresh touch from God today? That you realize, you know, I have been complaining a little bit. Things haven't been going the best. Things are a little bit on the not so good side. And I need God to help me. He's led me tomorrow. But I want to see God make this situation in my life sweet. Is that you? I'm just going to ask you to come. We're going to pray for you. I want to see God move in your life and cause the problem that you're in, the bitterness, the thing that is just, you can't get around it, it's just there. I want to have God show you that He can heal that situation, no matter what it is. Are you here? Would you just stand up and come forward and we're going to pray for you? That's all it's going to take. You have to come to where the bitter water is. Let's change the sweet water so that that sweetness now God can take and make a difference. God can make it sweet. That's what He wants to do. Are you here? Someone's sitting back there saying, you know, I really should get up. I know I should get up. I know I need to get up. I've got a loved one that I've been praying for a long time that just doesn't seem like they're coming to the Lord. And God, I'm getting so tired. I'm just getting so tired. I've got a problem. Lord, it just seems like every morning when I get up, it's there. Is that you? Be honest. Because God wants to touch you. God wants to show you. And I want you to know, the Lord has spoken to my heart and said, you will see an answer very soon. Very soon. And it's going to be not long. You're going to go from the bitter waters to sweetness, and then you're going to go to healing, where you can settle down and have peace in your heart. How many of you are really looking for peace? You want peace in your heart, where there's turmoil, whatever. God wants to take that and change it. If you're at a place like Elam now, if you're at a place of peace, I want you to come and we're going to pray for these people. For these people that's down here. They're looking for a change. And if you've got sweet water in your life, come and pray that God will change their life to sweet water. Are you here? Just come. Let's pray for them. Let's really pray.
going to see an answer that only God can do.
I can't do it.
There's no way. God.